Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're excited today, yeah. Pastor Tim Olson is one of our overseers here at Hope City. We're led by overseers that help us if we ever go through transition or anything like that. And so we love to have them come and speak to you. Pastor Tim and Janice are here today. We're so glad you're here. I think this is the first time we've had Janice with us. And so we're so excited about that. They used to pastor at Bethel here in Medford. And so without any further ado, let's give Pastor Tim a big hand as he comes to speak to us today.
Oh, man. Wow. We are so excited to be with you today. What a blessing it is. And every time I come to this church, I've noticed three things. First of all, every time I come here, it looks better. I mean, you have done a lot of work around here, and it looks fantastic. The second thing I notice is every time I come here, there's more people. Man! And then the third thing I've noticed is every time I come, there's a stronger anointing. And don't take that for granted. It's what it's all about. Jesus came to bring life. Amen? He came to bring life. And your pastors, there's a lot to love about your pastors. But one of the things that I love about Pastor Jason and Pastor Paula is they have a very unique anointing on their lives, specifically for introducing people to Jesus and discipleship. Introducing people to Jesus and making disciples. They have such a powerful, not every pastor has this, but your pastors do. And this is what it's all about, making disciples. Jesus said, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. Make disciples. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and sing beautiful music. Jesus did not, and there's, I love great music. Give it up for the worship team, by the way, today. Man, awesome. Jesus did not say, go into all the world and preach great sermons or build great buildings. Nothing against any of those things, right? But primarily, this is what the church is about. Go make disciples. And this is the anointing that your pastors have, and it's reflected in what God is doing right here at Hope City Church. Are you thankful for what God is doing? You know, there are those that would have us to believe that the church is dead, that the God is not making a difference anymore, that, you know, the world is just not interested in God anymore. There are those that would have us to believe these lies, but I'm here to tell you, God is on the move. You don't need me to tell you that because it's happening right here. Do you know that around the world last year, Bible sales increased around the world by 30% last year? God is doing something. Our church, in the midst of one of the darkest, godly cities in America, Seattle, where we live, in the last 3.5 years, we have planted 3 new congregations. According to our Assemblies of God Missions Department, every 54 seconds, someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ around the world. And that's just in our movement. Every 54 seconds, someone finds Jesus. Every 81 minutes, a new church is planted somewhere in the world. God is doing something. Amen? So I just want to encourage you with that. This is a great day. In spite of all of the evil we see and all the things the enemy is doing, this is a great day to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It is. It is. I want to bring you bring you a very concise message today. Listen, our church services back home usually go for 1 hour 45, 2 hours. Are you okay with that? I got one yes. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that today. Today I want to talk for a few minutes about the life that God wants to bring to you. the life. Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. The New Living Translation of that same verse says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and satisfying life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what I want to do, I'm going to just approach this in a little different way. I'm going to just track with us through the Word of God, track us through something that we see in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, and it's called the Tree of Life. The Tree of Life. You know, when God created the Garden of Eden, he filled it with all kinds of trees, but there are two specific trees that are mentioned. And the first one of these gets all the pub. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everybody talks about that one. But how many of you know Adam and Eve had a different option there? The tree of life. Now, did God tell Adam and Eve they couldn't eat from the tree of life? No. They could eat from the tree of life all they wanted. Right? Without restriction. And yet, they chose to eat from the wrong tree. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, if you want to just turn with me there or find that with your Bible app, says, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and he put there the man that he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life. Everybody say tree of life. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So of all the trees in the garden, there was only one that Adam and Eve were not allowed to eat from. I mean, don't you sometimes just want to say, dude, you had one rule. Like just one rule to obey. Couldn't you just get this one thing right? Right? But then every time I start pointing fingers at Adam and Eve, I think about some of the really poor decisions I've made in my life, right? And it's hard for me to be too critical of them. By the way, just life lesson. Never, ever, ever, never, ever take advice from a talking snake. Right? I mean, why would you? But they did. They did. Now, you'll hear a lot of people speculate about what is this tree of knowledge of good and evil. A lot of times when you see pictures of it, you know, you see Eve standing there, you know, with no clothes on, with some carefully placed leaves, and she's got an apple in her hand. Right? So some people will say, well, it was an apple. What kind of fruit was it? Some people will say, well, this is really symbolic of the fact that Adam and Eve had sex. Well, we know that's not true because God created sex and he blessed it and it wasn't a sin. So that wasn't the temptation. And so people, you'll hear a lot of different theories about what is this tree of knowledge. And for me, quite honestly, I think that's beside the point. It really doesn't matter. The point is, Adam and Eve disobeyed God.
That's right.
Eve through deception and Adam through disobedience, they disobeyed God. And so the bottom line for me is this. Adam and Eve chose moral autonomy over the love and wisdom of the Father.
Wow.
They chose moral autonomy over the love and wisdom of the Father. So what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, they wanted to be the ones that decided for themselves what was right and wrong, good and evil. They wanted to make that choice. And they chose that over the love and wisdom of God. So let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you believe that God is smarter than you? wait a minute. Houston, we have a problem. No, we would all acknowledge that God is quite a bit smarter than us. Amen? How many of you also would agree that God loves you? Right? God loves you. So because God is smarter than us and God loves us, we make a wise decision when we choose to do what he says instead of what we want to do.
Wow.
Amen? And so Adam and Eve chose moral autonomy. And moral autonomy is the altar that this world worships at.
Wow.
You do you, I'll do me. Love is love. I'll decide what's right for me. My body, my choice. God's not going to tell me who I can have sex with. In fact, God's not even going to tell me what sex I am. I'll decide these things for myself. Moral autonomy. But again, before we're quick to judge others, let's remind ourselves, every time we choose our way over God's way, it leads us to sin and heartache, right? So in a sense, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, they were representing every single one of us. Every one of us. Because we are confronted with many, many decisions in life. And a lot of these decisions just boil down to this simple question. Am I going to choose personal autonomy, or am I going to choose God's life for me? Amen? So what happened? What happened to the tree of life after Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden? Well, we're told. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 says this. The Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground which he had from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim. These are angelic beings. Cherubim. And a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So the tree of life was not destroyed, right? But it was restricted. Adam and Eve couldn't go to it any longer. Right? It was taken from them. So it wasn't destroyed. In fact, we find the tree of life show up again in the Bible. Did you know that? We're going to go now, fast forward from the very first book of the Bible to the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Listen to this description of the tree of life as we find it in heaven. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. So down the center of the main street of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, we have the river of God flowing, right? Wow. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. Listen to that. On each side of the river. In other words, the tree of life is so massive. Its root system is so large that it's actually growing on both sides of a river. It's the tree of life as it appears in heaven. And it's bearing 12 crops of fruit. 12 crops of fruit. Yielding its fruit every month. So in other words, it's not seasonal. It just keeps producing fruit, keeps producing fruit. How many of you know God never runs out of life? Amen? And it says, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be any curse. Man. How many of you just look forward to that day of just going over and just grabbing off whatever kind of fruit that is? Amen? Say, come on, God. It's the tree of life as it appears in heaven. Now, the question is, who gets to eat from this tree? Just anybody? No, not just anybody. Revelation chapter 22 and 14 says this, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to eat from the tree of life, and they may enter the city by the gates. Who gets to eat from the tree of life? Those who have washed their robes. And how are our robes washed? Right? With Tide? Is there still Tide? Okay. I honestly, this is so pathetic. That's the only name of a laundry detergent I know. I know, I'm such a chauvinist. My wife does all the... Now, to be fair to myself, she doesn't let me do the laundry because she's afraid it's not going to, you know, turn out the same as what it went in. So, how are these robes washed? We go to chapter 7 and verse 14 of Revelation. Listen to this. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. It's through Jesus. So in a sense, Jesus himself, he is the way to the tree of life. Listen, I don't believe God ever does anything by accident. I believe Jesus died the way he did on a cross for a reason. He died on a cross because that cross represents the tree of life. The cross is the tree of life. Church, the cross of Jesus is the most beautiful thing in all the world. You might say, Tim, how can such a cruel instrument? The cross was such a cruel instrument of torture that Romans would not even crucify another Roman citizen, no matter what they'd done. They considered it to be such a terrible way to kill people. So there's... How can that be beautiful? Listen, on top of the fact that it was a cruel instrument of torture and death, on the cross, the sins of the world were put on Jesus. Hatred, racism, rape, murder, the depth of man's humanity is represented on that cross. Think about it. God showed up to this world, and what did this world do to him? Put him to death on the cross. But also listen to this. It's at the cross where the sin of humanity and the love of God met, and the love of God won. Because on Jesus was my sin and your sin. Pastor Jason earlier talked about just, you know, the power of regret and shame. Listen, regret and shame are done away with by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we choose Jesus, we're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Amen? We're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Janice and I, when we first started out as youth pastors, we were youth pastors in a small church in central Washington, a little town called Grandview. Now, we both grew up in the Seattle area, very large, you know, 1,000-member churches. And our first ministry assignment was a church of about 150 in the Yakima Valley. Very rural community, you know, dairies and vineyards and orchards. And I mean, it was like going to a different planet for us. But man, what a wonderful time of ministry that was. What a great time of growing in our own lives. After we'd been at the church for a few weeks, there was a family in the church, the Harriman family, that had invited us to their house for dinner after church. So we drove out, and they had all bunch of vineyards and animals and all kinds of, you know, just a beautiful family, beautiful farmyard, and, you know, all these fruit trees. And after dinner, we went out to the front yard, and Mr. Harriman, he went over and he grabbed a peach off a tree. And he says, "Try this out." Now listen, peaches never really impressed me that much. Because the only peaches I had ever had were either bought at a store or out of a can. So I was like, "Yeah, okay, you know, I'll eat your peach, whatever." So I bite into this peach, and I am immediately like, "What are you and where have you been all my life?" Like, it was unbelievable. I mean, I downed the whole thing and I ate 3 more peaches. All right? My point is this. The enemy who comes to kill and steal and destroy, he's always going to give you a cheap imitation of the life that God has for you. And once you eat from the tree of life, you're going to know the difference. You're going to know that what God has for you, the world has nothing compared to what God has for us. Amen? And it's the tree of life. So when we choose Jesus, we choose to eat from the tree of life. And every time you choose Jesus over your own wishes and desires, you choose to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose obedience over selfishness, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose to spend time with God in His Word, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you decide to show up to church instead of staying at home watching football, you choose to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose to worship, even those days you don't feel like it, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose to overlook an offense, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose to forgive somebody who's hurt you, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you choose to refuse to join the gossip train, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Every time you speak faith and life and hope and encouragement, you're choosing to eat from the tree of life. Amen? I just want to challenge us today. God has so much for us. So much. Everything the world has to offer is a cheap imitation. A cheap imitation. So let's choose Jesus. Amen? Let's choose the tree of life. Will you bow your hearts with me before the Lord? Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Just want to take a moment before we close to give an invitation. You know, repentance from sin is a gift from God. Many times we think of repentance as someone shaming us, someone scolding us, God being angry at us. So we shy away from it. But repentance of sin is really an invitation to the tree of life. It's an invitation. If sin is what destroys, and it does, then a call to turn away from sin is an invitation to life. So I want to give just this invitation, this opportunity today. If you're here and you know there's something in your life that you need to turn away from, you need to lay at God's altar. You need to tell God today, "I've been eating of the tree of knowledge. I've claimed moral autonomy. I know this thing is wrong and I'm doing it anyway. And I'm not here, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, but I am here to invite you to do what I've done many, many times in my life. Repent. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, today I choose you. I choose your plans for my life over my own. And if that's you today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer of repentance.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.